Okay.
Okay, so do you have our agenda, Tony?
I do.
Right.
On my computer. Do you want me to just tell you everything I have and we go from there?
Sure.
Okay. Pardon?
Ann just joined the call.
Thank you. Marie had emailed in, and if she wasn't on the call, I'm supposed to bring it up, but about the contact information for the web, to discuss if we want to use both phone numbers and email addresses or just email addresses.
Okay.
And then kind of update people, let people know where we are with the flyer.
Great.
And then one thing that I was interested in, because I had someone come, she's about 10 minutes late to a key group this week, and so I'm just not sure, you know, how to handle lateness, to just maybe talk about that. And then if anyone has some issues from the blog or other facilitator issues.
Yeah, and our folks, if anybody knows now that you do have something either left over from the blog or some issue you'd like to talk about, maybe you could say who you are and we'll put you on the agenda.
Hi, this is Jen. Oh, can you hear me?
Yes, Jen.
Hi, I had to be on the call last week late, so I had listened to the recording and understood that we were putting the contact information on the website. So I think I maybe misunderstood that when I received the email from the facilitation communicator. I would like to, get a group going in my area. It has been just my husband, and it hasn't really been working. So I wondered, do I just go ahead and email the facilitation communicator my contact information, even though I don't really have a location yet, because if we are going to kind of get things going, I would love to have a group here. So I just wanted to...
Okay, I think we've actually got the whole issue of contact information on the web on our agenda. So will you bring that up when we come back around to that?
Absolutely, thanks.
Great, thank you. And Sequoia's got some.
Yeah, this is something Dave wanted me to bring to this meeting, and I tell you the truth, I'm not certain if it's included in what was mentioned previously, but a blurb came through that the publicity committee looked at about the groups, describing the next group and including that we're going to look at trying to be human and when the groups are going to start, and I just wanted to bring that to the group.
Yeah. Okay, let's put that on the agenda, Tony, and we don't have to make decisions today, but we can certainly look at stuff like that.
And I didn't hear all of what she said. It's talking about a blurb for publicity for the groups.
Yeah, you could just say Sequoia's blurb, and we'll get there.
Okay.
Hey, this is Lori. And that last thing that you just said about we don't have to make a decision yet about what's next, we're going to be finishing up the key this coming week, and I guess I'm not clear. Are we ready to start trying to be human the following week?
Okay, let's put that on the agenda.
Thank you.
Hey, this is Karen.
Hey, Karen.
So last week the wrong passage was read, and we wondered what the protocol would be for that. We actually skipped 1 week.
Okay, let's take a look at that, too. What to do if you miss a week's reading. Okay. That sounds like it might be it for now. So, Tony, you want to talk about the... Was there somebody else? Contact information on the web? That issue?
Yes. Because I guess the question was, do we... Because we have some with phone numbers. We have email addresses for everyone, and some we have phone numbers for, and some... We didn't have phone numbers for, so I think it was to discuss, should we use both or just email addresses?
Okay, and what do folks think about that?
This is Michael.
Michael.
What comes up for me is I like to think that I can be present and responsive, you know, on the fly, like somebody calls me.
Yeah.
And appropriate, and it's not always true.
So you pick up the phone and you're not, you can't always be guaranteed that sender is the one who answers.
Yes. And for me with email, I feel like I have a much better shot at that.
So it sounds like you would be leaning toward, let's not put phone numbers on there, let's just put email addresses.
Yeah, because for me with email, you know, there's not that time pressure of I need to respond to this person right now. You know, it gives me a chance to, you know, be present, or if there's something, anything unusual about it, I can run it by the guest master, and it feels like it gives me a better shot of representing practice.
Yeah. Okay, good. And Michael here has something.
I remember, I thought that we kind of have a precedent about that, that we decided that we would use email. That's what I'm remembering.
Okay, thanks. And Amy's got something.
I'm remembering the same thing. It seems like at one point in time we had a conversation about this, and I thought that what we had come to was that we were going to use email.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Lisa.
Yeah, Lisa.
And I remember the same thing. We had a conversation, and we had decided on a call that we would only use email, and that's what I remember, too.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it sounds like not only are folks leaning pretty much in that direction now, but that is also was something that we arrived at in an earlier conversation. So let's pass it along. We can pass the question along, but let Dave know when he's back that everybody seems to be pretty much on the same page about not publicizing phone numbers. Unless there's anybody there who has a different opinion.
I just wonder the rare chance that someone doesn't have email and wants to get in touch with us.
Aha. That's one where I know that's come up in other circumstances, not this one specifically, but pretty much everybody can get to email if they've got a library or a friend. And I think we tend to lean toward that. But I'll mention your concern, Lori.
Melinda, this is Rebecca.
Yeah.
I agree with the email being the preferred way. The only thing that comes up for me around that is that I just learned that email is really not always reliable. You know, things go to spam and whatnot. And so there's just sort of a nagging little something about that would be satisfied if we were to say, you know, something on the website like, if you don't hear a response back, please contact the monastery. Or just some little safety net that just in case someone tries to reach us and we don't get it.
Yeah, to cover our bases in that way so they don't think they're being completely ignored.
Exactly. Yeah.
Alex has got something.
I just second that whole approach right there. Just, you know, contacting the monastery, that would be the best way to approach the email not getting to the person. And I agree about the email being the primary way. I mean, there's just so many pluses for it that, and plus the sitting groups and the places where you're all meeting are big cities. You know, you're not, at least that's my guess. I don't know if anybody lives on the end of a dirt road where people actually don't, other than us, that don't have email. So, yeah.
Hi, this
okay.
is Karen.
Yeah.
One possibility would be to say something about if a person doesn't have email, they could contact the monastery, and then the monastery could then email the contact information to the sitting group facility.
Yeah, we might look at that. I suspect that opening any more avenues to more work coming into the monastery might not be entirely popular, but I think we could go ahead and mention that because it's not a bad idea. So, yeah, and you do all this in notes, right, Tony?
Yes.
Great.
Yeah, so, and it's, yeah, I'm writing it down.
Melinda, this is Dan.
Who is this?
This is Dan.
Hey, Dan.
And I had the same thought about more work on the monastery, and I know we're trying to push the management of this group more onto the group. I'm wondering if there's a technological way for there to be a volunteer from this group to have a voicemail that they could answer, so they wouldn't have to answer it real time, just like email, but there'd be a number where people could call, and that person could then get the message to the right city.
To the right city. Oh, the right city. Yeah. Well, we could certainly throw that into the mix. I suspect that putting something, my own take is putting something up on the web, telling people if you don't hear back from us, let us know, kind of thing might work. But let's put that in the mix, Tony, and
okay.
And have all the ideas there so they can all be considered.
Melinda, this is Ann.
Yeah, Ann.
I just have one other possibility which came up when Dan offered that, which is we could have we could say if you don't get a hold of the person, contact the monastery and have an email address that actually goes to somebody in the group rather than the monastery, that it would essentially do the same thing the monastery would do, email it to the sitting group person.
Yeah, it could go to the facilitation coordinator.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What do you
exactly.
think, honey?
So just another way to try to lift the monastery.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is Tony. That I could see doing that. I'm not technologically. I'm not exactly sure how to get it set up, but
that's why we have Bob.
Yes, but I'm happy to.
He does all that magic from where he lives.
Yeah. So it's just
hey, good. Why don't we go ahead and move along, Tony?
Okay. Okay. So the next thing I have is. Just to talk about the flyers a little bit. The flyers announcing about the groups, when we sent them out, there was some difficulties opening the flyer, or they wouldn't have the image on it.
Right. Yeah, something got dropped in some of our computers.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I don't know. We talked about possibly if someone was... I guess to put this out, someone could create PDFs for each of the groups. We talked about that might be another way of creating the flyers with the individual information on it.
Uh-huh. Lisa, did you have something you were going to do in that, or is that a faulty memory?
No, I did. I tried reformatting them in Microsoft Word on my Mac, and I sent a couple versions to the facilitator communicator and to Dave, and I think that maybe they still had difficulty looking at the flyers. I'm not sure what the end result of that was.
Right. So that's what you're addressing, Tony, is that there's still some question of how people are going to be able to get flyers that they can either email out, or I guess it's mostly email out.
Yes, and possibly print out and post somewhere.
Right, so then, post locally to their sitting group. Somebody have some?
Oh, I was just going to say, so then, Tony, do you know, did they not work? Did the versions I make just not work out?
It seemed like Dave had trouble opening it on his particular computer.
This is Bob.
Great, Bob.
I was in on that string of email, and... I think what we were starting to get to is that one way to handle this would be to have one person who held the master document and then have each sitting group send them the particulars for their group, you know, the time and whatever contact information they put on that flyer, and then one person would be responsible for sending that sitting group coordinator a PDF, and that way we wouldn't have to worry about compatibility, they would all look the same, wouldn't have to worry about whether everyone had the same fonts, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So at some point, probably in the very near future, it sounds like we'll be looking for a volunteer to be the person who is sort of the distribution center for the PDF.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is Lisa.
Yeah, Lisa.
So I would love to do that, but unfortunately, I don't have a PDF writer. I only have a reader, and so it would have to be somebody who, you know, has the ability to do that.
Okay.
This is Dan.
Yeah, Dan.
I,
I have a PDF writer, and I'd be happy to do that. But my understanding is that almost all Macs that are less than 3 years old have a PDF writer in there. You just need to know how to get at it.
Oh, then I might have one. Hold on.
Yeah, so.
Melinda, it's Rebecca.
Yeah, Rebecca.
I noticed something when I was printing out the flyer yesterday that that there's not a sentence in there that says that an orientation is required, unless I missed it, but I didn't see that. And so I would be reluctant to put up a flyer, even just giving, I mean, unless we think that it's going to be covered because we only give the email address. But if I'm remembering correctly, we gave the basic, there was a place where it was, like so-and-so church, and then the, you know, and then the email address for more information. And so I can see people just showing up at the church and wandering around or wherever it is and finding it. And do other people, I would just feel more comfortable if we added a sentence that said something like an orientation required before attending.
Yeah.
This is Lisa.
Yeah, Lisa.
I think one way that could actually be taken care of is on the flyer, I think we had talked about not having the exact address of the place on the flyer. So just having like the general idea of the neighborhood. So I'm in a major city, so I put Art Museum area, because if you live in my city, you know that general area, so you can kind of know what side of town that it's on.
Right.
But
right.
I think our idea was to not have any specific information, so that people had to contact you, and then they would get that letter that we send out that explains what the group is and would be, and talk about the orientation and those kinds of things. And so that's when that would go out.
Yeah, that sounds good, because that doesn't give people too much to have to think about, worry about, try to figure out when they see the information about the sitting group or the group. They can just email and get the information, the more specific information through the email.
Yeah, that sounds good to me, too. I can certainly go with that. For some reason, I was thinking the sample that was out had a little bit more specific information about where, so that's what was throwing me. But, yeah, I'm fine with doing it just as sort of a Northwest Austin sort of thing.
Yeah, if you're meeting at the Unitarian Church on Street, that would be a little bit more information than, I mean, that would sort of invite people to show up. But
fine. Or even just
in a way that makes it not possible for people to just show up. Just a second, Michael's got something.
It seems we could also accomplish the same thing by not putting the time, the day and the time.
I would think that the day and the time, sorry, I just wanted to express that, that would preclude some people, like I work on this date or and this time, so I think letting people know generally when something is,
go ahead, whoever that is.
That was Rebecca, just coming back to say, I really feel comfortable with the solution to just be vague about the part of town it's in, just not specific on that part.
Okay, good, good.
Thanks.
Anything else about the flyer updates, Tony?
I'm not sure. I do have the contact information that I could, because I'm also not able to make PDFs, but I wasn't sure if someone is offering to do that.
You've got everybody's contact information.
I do.
Okay.
So I can easily could send. I just am not, don't have the ability on my computer to make PDFs.
Yeah. So we've got one volunteer that we know of, which is Dan, and Lisa's going to prowl around her Mac to see if she does, after all, have a PDF writer capability.
Would it be
appropriate? Anybody else who might be in that line of volunteering? Because I'm just going to pass all this along and let the head office take the next step. Anybody else who might enjoy being the distribution point for flyers?
This is Lynette. I think I have PDF, so if I have it, I'd be happy to do that as well.
Okay, great.
So I'll
Melinda, this is Dan. Would it be appropriate for me to just post on the blog what I know about how to make a PDF on a Mac so that whoever ended up doing it would know how?
Why don't you hold off on that, Dan? Thanks for that offer.
Sure.
Hold off just for a little while, okay?
Very well.
Great. Thank you.
Hey, Melinda?
Yes, Michael.
Yeah, I had a comment about the text, and I didn't know if that is reopening a can of worms, and if I should pass on that, or if I should bring that up.
That's a good question, because we have been through that rather a lot, as I recall. You know, why don't you go ahead and put it out? Well, no, it does feel a little bit like a can of worms, Michael. Why don't you email your suggestion to facilitators at?
Okay, facilitators at Living Compassion.
Yeah, and then if there's actually, if we've got the time and the wherewithal to go back and look at the text again, we'll have what you're suggesting.
Okay, great. Thanks.
This is Deanna.
Deanna.
If the flyer came out fine, can we just go with it? I wanted to save time for the coordinator to whoever's going to do it because mine is perfectly fine on my computer.
Oh, that's really good to know. And would you hold that question? Maybe actually, Tony, if I'm not totally overloading you, email that to facilitators. And these are questions we can double check when Dave is back on board.
Okay, so email the question?
Yeah, the question about whether Deanna's got a perfectly good copy of the flyer. Is it okay for her to go ahead and start sending it out, posting it, et cetera? And for anybody else who the PDF came through okay.
Okay. Okay.
And that might be we'll send an email saying go for it, or we'll say wait till we have a chance to talk about it again.
Okay. Okay.
Hello.
Okay, does that get
hello?
The, yes.
Hi.
Hi.
Hmm.
Who's that?
Janice, did you call here?
It's who? Anna? Are you still there, Tony?
I'm here, yes. I don't know what that was.
I don't either. Okay, let's continue.
Okay.
So was that it for the flyer update?
Yes, that's all I have.
Great.
Yes, what I had next was someone came late to my she came late this week.
Uh-huh.
And I had the door shut. We met in a new place. So I'm still working out everything, but I didn't know if I should put like at the sitting group we put a sign on the door that says if you've come late you can sit in the foyer until meditation is over, and then they flip the sign and people can come in during walking meditation. And so I didn't know if to put a sign on the door just to say we've already started. I mean, I don't know quite how to handle it or send out. I did email ahead and say you may want to allow extra time since it's a new space and, you know, might need time to find the room. But
Right. So what you're describing you used to do sounds like what we actually do here. We hear, for instance, at Mountain View, we have a little sign that's been with us for, I don't know, 30 years. That says meditation in progress. Please sit outside. I think it says please sit outside.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to me like a really good way to handle it. Does anybody else have a take on that?
Because this is since it's a key group, we do have the guided imagery in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And we've never really had a how we would do this for the discussion groups.
Because the sign we have is for the we use is for the sitting group.
Right. Oh, I see what you're saying. There's a distinction between the kinds of groups you're having, and would the same apply when it's a group? This person is going to come in 20 minutes late to the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really good question. Would it apply across the board? And what do folks think? Alex has got some.
I don't know about other places, but there has been a longstanding tradition of if you're late, you don't come in at all. That there's an understanding that if you think you're going to come later, you end up coming late. Perhaps this is not the group for you, and to come back next week. And as far as I know, that's the way we've handled people who have decided to, who are ended up coming late.
Other folks?
This is Michael.
Yeah, Michael.
I just wanted to concur with what Alex said. Seems like a direct kind approach.
Yeah, and you know what I'm thinking is it might be good for that to be in the orientation.
Mm-hmm.
So that people, because we really do want to be as informative as we can of the guidelines so people aren't surprised by it. If they get the information ahead, which we include here in our monastery orientation, if you show up late, you won't be able to come in. And you're phrasing it perhaps a little more gently than that, but just a sec, here's Alex.
And part of the orientation follow-up, you know, I like what we talked about last week about explaining why. So really, there are a lot of really good reasons for it. One is it's really kind for the entire group. You know, we don't have to feel like we get disrupted or if we have to backtrack. And it's also kind for the person, too, because then they don't feel like they are missing something or, and, you know, it's a little subtle point, but the person's going to show up late and is allowed to come in is going to be, rewarded in a sense for coming late. And so lateness will be something that is equated with this is okay. They're going to let me come in. And in a large sense with practice, what we do is, you know, someone travels long distance to get to the monastery, and they say they're going to be here at a particular time, and then they're not here at that time, and then they have the opportunity to say, well, sorry, it's not going to work for you to be here now. They get to see a whole lot about that. And that, from my experience, has been really, really kind.
I think Sequoia's got some.
I was just seeing that. I think, for me, it would probably be okay to have a little sign that you just put on the outside of the door, too, once group starts and say, group in session, please do not enter or something, because people always have a way of hearing that orientation but think they're the exception.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's so true. Linda. So to really cover the bases and do it both in the orientation and put up a sign.
Mm-hmm.
Linda, Ramita here.
Hey, Ramita.
I agree, and I thought it was part of the discussion at one point as we were getting the group started. I do review that in orientation, and then I put a sign on the door that greets people when they come, just saying, please enter in silence. And then a minute or so before the group actually begins, I go and turn the sign to the other side that says, group begins at 7 p.m., please join us next time. And then close the door. And
yeah, that's getting a lot of nods here.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
very kind.
Hey, Melinda?
Yeah, Michael.
I just had another thought. You know, when people, this can be a foreign concept to people, and one way that I've heard it in an orientation that's been really helpful is, you know, if you're late, it doesn't mean you're wrong, doesn't mean you're bad, doesn't mean, you know, we don't want you to come. It just means you're late, and this is how we work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's called being present in the moment.
Yeah.
If the moment says 7 o'clock, we're there at that moment, or even earlier.
Yeah.
Okay, so did that address it for you, Tony?
That's great. Thank you very much. That's great. Thank you.
Hey, Melinda, this is Bob.
Yes, Bob.
We had a sort of version of this in our group on Monday, which is that someone was there on time, but then they went to use the restroom, and then by the time they actually sat down, it was past sitting time.
Oh, that's such a good issue to bring up.
And so,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I think there needs to be some sort of communication, but I wasn't sure actually how to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a, I'm really glad you're bringing that up, and I wonder, does anybody have experience with that or a take on it? And here's Alex.
I'm sorry, we have a parallel for that one. It's a monastery, too, actually. It's the one about the bell will ring at this time, and you're encouraged to be sitting facing the wall 5 minutes before the bell rings. And I think if people know that, that's when we're going to begin, and that's what, you know, so that they will allow for that to happen. Now, are you saying that meditation starts at that time, or does the group begin at the time, and they were late for group, Bob?
It's one and the same.
Oh, one and the same.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I still think that kind of would apply. That it begins at this time.
Melinda, it's Rebecca.
Yeah, Rebecca.
Well, I had something that seems a little similar to me come up, where this woman in group took off her a little overshirt and had a little spaghetti strap undershirt on. And she took it off right after she got settled on the cushion and before the bell was going to ring. And I must admit, it was very hot in the room because the AC wasn't working. So I just thought, right before I rang the bell, I passed her a little note that said, you know, I know it's hot, but the guideline is to not wear sleeveless, blah, blah, you know, and would you mind putting your overshirt back on? And she did. And so I wonder if maybe using a note in that case, or I mean, I don't know how to. I mean, I can understand communicating before the fact, all this stuff. But if it happens, what do you do in that moment? And I found that passing that little note to her to be effective, and she looked at it all through the sitting, because then she talked about it in group and, you know, and everything.
Yeah. It was an Well, she created an opportunity for herself as well as for you.
Yes, it was a really good opportunity for me.
Yeah, and what do folks think? I certainly have a take on it, but since I'm holding sort of the microphone, I can see if other folks do.
Melinda, this is Jeffrey.
Hey, Jeffrey.
I have not started a group yet, but it seems like it might be an opportunity for one of those general group announcements. You know, we ask you to be here and settled 5 minutes before, something like that.
Ah, I see. So even taking it out of the, I'm not sure if this is what you're suggesting, but taking the issue of scanty clothing sort of out of it by reviewing the general guideline, which is to please be seated and ready to meditate 5 minutes before the sit begins.
Sure, yes, and the going to the bathroom issue as well.
Right.
Maybe it's something that could just be a general, and see if that works, and then take another step if that doesn't work.
Yeah, and that's neat, because it's kind of in line with what I think Dave was talking about it last week, so I'm not sure if this was the context, but where we address things generally before we address them specifically, so we don't unnecessarily single people out, which is not to say seemed like a really fine way to handle it. It was effective, and it was created a really good practice opportunity for everybody. But, to have it, when possible, do a general guideline, and then if somebody doesn't get it, I know the context last week was the person in Lisa's group who went out and asked questions of other participants after the group. But it was to do a general announcement first and then do the specific if the person doesn't seem to be getting it. Michael here has something.
I'm thinking about myself, and I'm someone who has a real inclination to go use the bathroom and like end up being late, even though I was on time at the beginning. And I find that the vast majority of the time, having other people being with the program is enough to keep me on the program.
Yeah, thanks. Alex.
One thing about making general announcements is that you could inadvertently single somebody out
by mentioning, you know, so we don't wear spaghetti straps, you know, so there they are in their, you know, outfit. And it's clear that you're talking about them, especially if other people have seen it or, you know, someone who's shown up late by going to the bathroom, by starting off a group saying that you don't end up going to the bathroom or something. So, you know, it might be one of those things where you, in the moment, you know, what you do, you know, in the case that, you know, Rebecca hands this person a note, that might be the thing to do in that circumstance. And it could be that this is something that we could put in a blog, you know, that this is what happened, what do we do, what have other people done, and we have a discussion like this again, too. And it could be that we make a general announcement, you know, the week that after this incident happens, and so that people get that information covered and it's kind and it's delivered in a way that isn't singling somebody out. And,
This is Michael?
Yeah, Michael.
Yeah, I was thinking along the same lines that Alex has mentioned. And the other thing that occurred to me is to talk about several of the guidelines generally rather than just mentioning spaghetti strap or just mentioning being on time. You know, to me it's always helpful to hear all of the guidelines or, a big subset of them. And then in that way, we're not singling people out. We're talking about privileged environment generally. We're talking about the guidelines that make that up and how that supports all of us.
Yes. Yeah, and I was actually looking at maybe bringing into one of our future conversations the possibility of having the guidelines posted, at least the ones that seem to most often be overlooked, like clothing guidelines and timeliness. But because this in Mountain View last week, there were a couple of people who hadn't been for a long time and who both showed up in summer clothes and bare feet, they'd been oriented, but they just didn't remember from the 3 months ago that they were there that there was this guideline about clothing. So, I'll make a note to bring that up in one of our future facilitators' calls.
Belinda? This is Deanna.
Who was that first?
Deanna.
Go ahead, Deanna, and then I'll get. I can't quite catch who you are.
Okay. So I'm very glad we're talking about this because I've seen that one person comes consistently late. And because I only have two people, I haven't, I guess I haven't known what to do. I just continue on, and she comes in silently and joins the guided imagery. But so I'm wondering whether I need to, and I know she rushes over from work, so I'm wondering if it's appropriate to just change the time of the group, given that I only have two people, one of whom comes from work and is late, or is that too much bowing to this person's inability to get there on time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's such an interesting question. So what if folks have a take on that? So what about, so there's this person who frequently, if always comes late and comes in, it sounds like Deanna, during a guided meditation, guided imagery?
Yeah, she consistently comes in probably 3 minutes late when I've already started the guided meditation.
Yeah. So what do folks think?
And maybe it's conditioning. I guess I have this feeling of like, gosh, I only have two people. If if I really enforced this guideline, I'd have no people. But it's good to look at because
which is
then
interesting. It's a really interesting something for conditioning to be pushing at you with.
Yeah, definitely.
That an assumption that if you sort of ask her to stick to the guidelines, she won't come back. And
right.
It could be interesting to see, just to challenge that, what conditioning is telling you is going to happen.
Yes, yeah. I there's a lot of interesting places to explore. I think, you know, if I am very, you know, clear about the guideline, she could change her pattern and you know, and come
could
on
be the
time.
Best ever happened to her.
Yeah. you know, and then there's this scared part of me that says, well, we'll start at 6:15 instead of 6, you know.
Yes. Yeah, which is rearranging Deanna's life in a way to accommodate this person's inability to stay with herself in a way, because it sounds like she wants to be there.
Yeah, yeah, she's very consistent.
Yeah.
Rain or snow or sleet, she is here.
Yeah, yeah, within 3 minutes of the starting time.
Correct.
Yeah. So how about other folks?
Melinda, Karen.
Hey, Karen.
Hey. I'm also really enjoying this conversation and just looking in my own life for me how much rearranging I do of my schedule and my work schedule to be able to participate in everything and just how much conditioning tells me that I can't in quotes do that, like I can't rearrange my schedule and
The universe is going to have to give because I can't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and how helpful it's been, you know, even like for Tuesdays at the radio show when it starts and how I have over and over and over tried to rearrange my schedule to get off work early that day so that I can participate in that and then watching what happens and how sometimes I don't. I mean, it just, you know, the work carries over into that time. Mm-hmm. And
would you
and
want them to rearrange the radio show so you could be there?
Yeah. 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 And so anyway, I just, it's, I know if I can do it, I just know anybody can do it to rearrange, especially if we're only talking about 3 minutes.
Yeah, you know, and as you're saying that, Karen, I'm realizing that it's a kindness to the person who's being the 3 minutes late or 5 minutes late.
Yeah.
In the sense of being able to assist them, perhaps, in discovering how they're pushed around, how that happens, all the things that you see as you're struggling to be able to make the commitments that you know you want to make.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then also being a facilitator, and I have all these little voices that come up and say, if I do this, you know, if I do stick to that guideline, people won't come to my group, and I have a really tiny group. And,
right.
And then actually sticking to those guidelines no matter what, and seeing, just like you say, seeing that doesn't seem to be the case so far.
Yeah, that everybody doesn't abandon ship when you stick clearly to the guidelines.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a kindness to everybody, isn't it?
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Alex had something.
Hey, this keeps occurring to me around, and I think they're all very much related. They're all about guidelines. They're all about, you know, someone's doing something consistently, or at least some of them, like, you know, the one with the person who's talking to other people and the person who's coming in late. I think what folks are saying about, like, that people are adequate to the experience of finding out that, you know, this is our guideline, that this is what we do. You know, it could be that this is the time to say, hey, we noticed that you're coming in 3 minutes late, because otherwise we're just projecting, like we're just saying, oh, okay, well, they're late because they're coming from work, or I need to change the schedule in order for it to be okay for them to do it. And I think that letting, you know, starting out something where, you know, that our guideline is to be here at the we notice that you're 8-3 minutes, and starting out something where people have a chance to you know, get to see that that this is what we want them to do, and this is this is just the guideline that we have, and to see what happens with it from there, because you know, it's just an extension. I remember talking about how important it is to uphold the guidelines, that we never assume that anyone is not adequate to the experience of following them, because and it's the most challenging thing, because it's like someone comes in and says, you know, the only way I can meditate is by lying down, and then if we want people to participate in our group more than we want people to have the experience of the practice and doing what it is that we do, then we will kind of like sell people short in a way. And that's what I think the power of the practice is that we don't ever assume that people can't do it. And that's what I like so much about the example of, you know, I change my schedule around if I really want to do something, or if I want to donate to this practice, then I'll find a way to, you know, maybe I won't have that extra carton of cigarettes or something like that a week, and I'll just donate to the monastery. You know, it's just a matter of, like, balancing out what it is that I value versus what it is that I don't. And I think that people will get the power of the practice if we uphold the integrity of it.
This is Cameron. Cameron, let me check first, if I may. Somebody was speaking at the same time as Deanna started to speak, and I wanted to make sure I didn't miss that person, unless it was you, Cameron.
No, it wasn't. That was me, Melinda. It's Ramita.
Ah, okay. Thanks, Ramita.
And I could probably send this in as a message to the facilitator communicator instead of taking up time. So,
is it on the same thing we've been talking about?
It was about the issue about being late to...
Oh, good. Okay.
All right. Basically, I took a look at the new guidelines that we have for sitting in key groups, and there's a statement in there saying, if you arrive after meditation has begun, please do not enter the room. Instead, please wait outside until invited for group discussion.
Okay, that's pretty clear, isn't it?
That's clear, and that's
and
that
people
exactly
could come in for the discussion, which I realize is also the way we've been doing it in Mountain View. They can come in for the discussion, but they don't come in, for instance, once the guided imagery has started, I would suggest, or if the meditation has started. They are asked to wait outside.
Yes, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Agreed upon.
Good. Thanks, Ramita.
Okay. Thank you.
And then Cameron.
Well, I was basically waiting in line to say almost what Alex said. I really think that that's just underscore that the guidelines, having to follow the guidelines, really underscores what we're practicing. Because frequently we actually believe that we have to do it the way we want to do it, and that we can't do it another way. And the guidelines expand our concept of ourselves to realize that those are beliefs and it's not really true. And so it seems like a real entry point to practice is just practicing those guidelines and seeing what comes up and how a lot of it is just conditioning to malarkey.
Yeah, that the guidelines are effectively one more mirror for us.
Yeah, and at the beginning it's really big, because we so much believe what we're told about what our limitations are, and it is a way of seeing our adequacy to go through those beliefs that we think are so true. And it's just
right.
It's just a really, I think, important if we start fudging on the guidelines to make room for what conditioning beliefs we've lost. What we're there for, I think.
Yeah, well, and something I was saying as you were saying that and as we've been having this conversation is that it is as kind for the participant as it's also kind for the facilitator. And my own experience has been going from I need to enforce these guidelines because they're the rules and you have to do it right, to holding the privileged environment means holding the guidelines and being in line with them. And I think that in that, we as facilitators can have the same experience we're offering to the participants, in that we don't have to have a conversation about it because it's clear what the guideline is. And if I can hold it in a compassionate way, then it serves me as much as it serves the person that I'm holding it for.
Yeah, it's like building a foundation for a building that we want to all be in. And if the foundation is not solid or it's not level, we all suffer from being in a building that's not, you know, comfortable.
Up to code.
It's not a good functioning, you know, structure. So it seems like that's really the basis for everything that comes after. Thank you.
Good. Thank you, Cameron. Alex.
Have one more small thing, and that is I think it's good to have a conversation about stuff too, like having all this kind of stuff brought up here, because there is a way in which, you know, the guidelines, we look at them and then, okay, well, it's 7 o'clock, but nobody out in the world can come to my group because it's 7 o'clock, and so what do? We just keep having it at 7 o'clock and no one shows up. You know, at the monastery, when we plan to have people, when we schedule things, when we do things like can people participate in the meeting? If everybody can't show up, or if, you know, we need to have things set up so that people can participate, then we look to see what can get changed. So I'm saying it's not about, we don't change the schedule to accommodate people, but it's about paying attention and bringing it here and seeing what part of it is conditioning, what part of it is, you know, actually responding to something that needs to be addressed. I don't know if that's clear to everybody, but that's what was coming up for me in this all too. It's not a rule.
Okay, well, this is being a great discussion. Oh, and we've got one more issue on the agenda, which is Sequoia's blurb. So here's Sequoia.
I'm bringing this to the meeting, and I do need help. I wasn't on the last facilitator call, and everyone may know more about this than I do. Something came through the office and was sent on to the publicity committee for approval, and it was approved. And it looks to me like it's a blurb that's going on the web to announce the key group to everyone in general. There's a link to say find out more and locate a group near you, and it's announcing the start of using trying to be human. And so,
you know what I'm thinking, Sequoia, is maybe we could email this out to all the facilitators and then be able to, when's our next meeting, Tony?
I don't have one on the schedule that I know about after
okay,
today.
Okay, and hold on just a sec. Amy May has something.
At the information that I know what the blurb is, and it's the email announcement that we sent out to Sangha. It's not to go on the web, but it's the email to be sent out. And it's to announce that the general announcement about the new and ongoing group, and that we will be starting a new book. And so I don't know if it's time sensitive that it get out. If it sounds like we're this last week actually get the key, and this email announces that trying to be human will be starting next.
Yeah. So why don't we have Sequoia read it real quickly, and then if people have comments, perhaps you could email them in to information@. Because it sounds like maybe the process is going to go out this week, which is probably a good idea. So Sequoia will read it, and maybe you can make notes if you have any comments, and then email those in, and the office here can take it from there.
Okay, the email reads, "The Zen Monastery Peace Center invites you to participate in our new and continuing meditation and discussion groups throughout the country and abroad. We are pleased to announce that our facilitation training program has expanded, allowing the monastery to guide and support a growing number of individuals to facilitate weekly groups in their local areas. Groups begin with either a short guided meditation or a 30-minute formal sitting meditation, followed by a facilitated group discussion. All groups use weekly readings from books by Sherry Huber as the basis for the group discussions. We are also excited to announce that all groups will be beginning a new book, Trying to Be Human, the week of fill in the date. The collection of Dharma Talks by Sherry Huber has been inspirational to many in our practice, and we are enthusiastic about taking a fresh look at these readings together as Sangha. These meditation and discussion groups present an extraordinary opportunity to practice with Sangha in your area and provide a powerful focus for deepening practice. All are welcome. If you'd like to participate, we invite you to find out more and locate a group near you.
Okay. So you'll be hearing more about that, I have no doubt. And I think that brings us to the end of our time. Tony, do you need to double-check the roll call?
Yes, I wondered if anyone came in after roll call.
Did
this
you check?
Is John.
John?
Yeah.
I did, Tony, but I assume you heard my voice, Rebecca.
Correct, thank you.
Did you catch Jen Yost? She came in.
Yes, got Jen, okay.
Tony, you got me, right? This is Ann.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
This is Jen. I had trouble unmuting during the time when you talked about the website. Should I just email the facilitation coordinator?
That would be great. I realized I was going to check in with you, and I didn't on what you had about advertising your group. So, yeah, please email the facilitation coordinator.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, well, thank you, everybody, very much. It's been a fascinating conversation. To be continued, no doubt.